Hello there. It's James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Johnny Test,
Fred Flintstone,
and one of my personal favorites, Leonardo. And you are listening to Epic Tales from the Sewer. It's totally awesome. Turtle power. Go, go, go.
Party wagon and hold on to your pizza. The Last Ronin, The Lost Years. Writers Kevin Eastman and Tom Waltz. Then, pencils by S.L. Gallant with inks by Maria Keene. Now, pencils and inks by Ben Bishop. Splinter's Journal by Kevin Eastman. Colorist Luis Antonio Delgado. Letterer Sean Lee. Hokkaido, Japan. Then, get up, foolish child. We see on the ground, looks like Michelangelo is being beaten by 5 gang members. They just revel in the violence as they're beating him over the shell with sticks. New York City, now.
Get up! I think Odin's sick, Sensei. My tummy hurts so hungry.
Ugh, kids.
You're always hungry. Odin fatty, that's why. Take that back, Uno. Not nice.
As we see the new turtles on the ground, we see Odin being comforted by Yi, and Moya is having an argument with Uno.
Take that back! Not nice, Uno! Why, it true?
As he does a flip, he's doing a handstand into a flip over her.
Just like you always grumpy, Moya. Maybe just hungry. Maybe hungry too. Eat you finger. Maybe you try. Enough!
Save this energy for when we start sparring part of our training. Today's all about basic forms, nothing else, says Casey Marie. Now get back into formation, Yi. Help your brother up.
Come on, Odin. Time for Tai Chi. Ah, Tai Chi too hard. Not hard for me, fatty, says Uno.
Take back, says Moya, who pushes him. Knock it off, says Casey Marie Jones, as Grandma April answers. Well, this is a good time for a time out.
Mom, Grammy April.
These two are facing off, looking like they're going to fight each other.
How long were you there?
Long enough to see these little turtles being mean to each other. Moya, I know you were sticking up for your other brother, but violence is never the right solution, young lady. And Uno, nobody likes a show-off, mister.
Sorry, Grandma.
Now, why don't you kids take a break so your sensei and I can have a little talk, huh?
I do Tai Chi alone, then. Whatever.
As Moya puts on a Walkman.
Me so hungry,
says Odin. I know, baby. Grammy will make you a yummy sandwich when she's done here, okay?
With crust cut off?
You know it.
Grammy April, can I help you fix things in the garage?
Says Yi. You bet, kiddo. Go wait for me there. Don't touch anything. You're not supposed to.
I won't. Promise.
Yi's so excited, holding up a wrench. You know she's gonna mess with everything in there, right, Mom? Yep. Reminds me of another little busybody who used to run amok in this place. Except you were always better at breaking things than fixing them. Well, I can't fix these kids, that's for sure. What's to fix, Casey? They're just babies. Babies who I'm supposed to turn into ninjas, which I apparently suck at. As they go over to the shrine that has all the turtles' weapons and Splinter's journal with the turtles' bandanas. When did training them to be ninjas become mandatory? I seem to recall you making that decision all on your own, kid. For them and for you.
Yeah, I know. But it's the right thing, isn't it? I mean, with everything happening in the city ever since Sensei fell, well, you know.
Casey, I know you're trying hard to follow in Michelangelo's footsteps, and I guarantee you, wherever he is, he's very proud of you. But we know that with his dying wish wasn't about anything, it was about knowing peace. Except the fighting didn't stop, which is all the more reason that we should be taking Mikey's advice. I'm not gonna lie, Case. We've still got problems, even with the Foot Clan gone. Donatello once told me that nature abhors a vacuum, and that's proving true with the new power struggle in the city. But Donnie also taught me the scientific method. Define a problem, gather info, postulate a solution, test and look for success. Then admit failures, start over if necessary. There are plenty of times when I didn't think that I had what it took to be a good mom to you. But then I remembered what Donnie showed me, and I always found a way to make it work, even when New York was way worse than it is now. You've got to take it in baby steps at the start, especially with babies.
Yeah, I guess so.
I bet Master Splinter's old journal says something about failure, huh? Yeah, it says defeat is only real if you let it be real. Onto Master Splinter's journal, we can see Kevin Eastman art style. It says the defensive mind. Movement A. And there's some stick figures doing a movement. Movement B. Defeat is not defeat unless accepted as reality in your own mind. By Bruce Lee. The following panel showed then with Michelangelo getting brutalized by gang members.
3 years. Punch to the face. 3 years since I felt anything.
Boot to the face.
And now, pain.
Cracked bat over his shell.
Violent and absolute. Flooding my senses.
Slashed in the arm with a pocket knife.
My entire being. My mind.
Hit with a baseball bat in the face.
My body. Hit with a crowbar. My soul.
End of the broken bat driven into his stomach.
The pain reminds me that I came here to die. And I welcome it.
As he looks on to the shadowy figures with smiles on their faces.
The long path that led me to this moment is piled high with the murdered bodies of my family.
Michelangelo looks upon a giant mountain as he's in the snow gear, wandering. He thinks of the visions of his departed brothers.
Raphael
shows him on the bottom of the ocean with a sigh, blood in the water.
Leonardo,
his body after the explosion.
Donatello and Master Splinter.
Both of them just littered with arrows and dead in the snow.
My brothers, my father, and our friends too. April O'Neil, Casey Jones, the Fugitoid. All victims of the ancient family feud. Oroko versus Hamato. All dead, except for me.
As he looks up in his parka and puts on his goggles.
So with nothing left to live for, I just started walking. Up this cold and unforgiving mountain. To meet my own end. And I thought I'd found what I was looking for. A place to stop.
As he looks on sort of an ancient house. Looks like fallen into big disrepair. The windows are broken, the doors open, shattered.
A place to stop. A place to let go.
To lie down. As he crashes in onto the floor.
To die. But I was wrong. Freezing temperatures. No water. No food for who knows how long. Still, my mutant body wouldn't let my spirit go. Neither would the voice that suddenly whispered inside my head, "This is not your destiny." When spring finally arrived, I figured I wasn't gonna die. I'd better get busy surviving. And it seemed the universe agreed. The lost and lonely place I'd chosen to fall began to lift me up, providing me with the sustenance I needed to live. And the solitude necessary for me to search deep inside myself for answers. Any answers. For 3 years I meditated religiously, studied my father's journal, seeking the balance in the words and structures.
Shows Michelangelo fishing, and then him sitting in lotus pose, just meditating.
And after a time, it felt like merely surviving had become actually living, and that I just might find that final peace I had hoped for.
It shows him farming,
but as unexpectedly as it had come, it had passed.
Monster!
As he's sitting there, in his garden, with a gardening hat on. You can see that there's 5 of the gang members from the beginning that come to attack him.
It's some kind of green freak! What's he doing here? Who cares? Boss says no survivors! Kill it!
As one of them, with some sunglasses, throws a rock at his head and hits him,
whack!
Right in the side.
They charged at me like rabid dogs, practically frothing from their mouth in a mad rush in to kill me. Good!
As he falls down.
And unlike my attackers, I was in no hurry to stop them. Instead, I welcomed the pain, the death to come. And I imagined what my family would say if they were here.
As they start to attack with a swipe of a staff over his face,
Donnie would say something about the irony of these feral beasts calling me a monster.
Then one hits another stick on the side of his face.
Leo would criticize the sloppiness of their attack.
Then with a crowbar to the back of the shell,
Raf would probably say something like, "Oh, that's all you got, punks?" And father? What would father say
as he looks down at his journal and then looks up?
Get up, foolish child.
Before. You see Michelangelo back in his orange bandana days over a mountain of, looks like dead Foot Clan. A fully armored Splinter just shouts at him.
Father! I said get up. Your brothers have nearly broken through the last line of the Foot Clan defenders. Oroko Saki's head and vengeance will soon belong to the Hamato Clan. This is what I have trained you for all your life, this moment. Get up and rejoin the fight, Michelangelo.
He looks on.
I can't, Father.
Hear me, boy, as he grabs him by the belt. This is not your destiny. I will not leave you here to meet a coward's end.
Back to before.
Coward? I'm no coward. This is not my destiny.
Why doesn't this thing die? I already told you, it's a monster.
Yeah, well, I've got something to put it out of its misery.
He's got a very sharpened hoe.
Turtle soup tonight, then.
All right, chop it up.
Time to get up.
Time to fight. As he makes the swing, the killing stroke. Michelangelo grabs the hoe and pulls it out. And then with a
wah!
Swipes it across his midsection, opening him up.
Cowards just trying to kill. No respect for life. No honor. No mercy.
Yeah!
As he jumps on them to attack. They're surprised. They have no chance.
Years of rage. Loneliness. Grief and guilt. Let it all out. They never have a chance.
He does. He takes them all down. One of them with the sunglasses runs off in the other direction.
And then it's done. And the fatigue sets in from the battle for my life. My life. This is not your destiny.
He looks down at the book.
My life was set for me from birth. Respect, honor, redemption, family. Master Splinter was right. This mountain sanctuary with its false promises of peace and resolution was never my destiny.
As he looks on to the, at least incapacitated but possibly dead, folks that he fought, he can see that there's a tattoo of what looks like a worm on one of their chests.
No more than fooling myself that I could quit my family's long war against the Foot Clan ever was. Redemption for my family on the battlefield. That's my destiny. To the end.
As he leaves the sanctuary he's known as home for the past 3 years, he walks down the path.
What the?
He could see.
Hell?
The village is destroyed. Everybody's dead. There's dead cattle on the ground and everything's aflame.
I passed this village when I first arrived at this mountain 3 years ago. Poor farmers and shepherds and family. Peaceful, hard workers doing what they had to survive. The village seemed almost ancient when I first saw it. Like a place lost to time. A sacred place. Who would do something like this?
As he looks on, he can see a child dead on the ground, still on fire.
There it is! That's the monster that attacked us in the hills!
A whole group of gun-toting gang members looks on as the sunglass guy gets patched up inside a truck.
Attacked you? Just like on the mountain, my rage overtakes me, and I strike out without thinking.
He's got Raph's eye and Leo's sword, and he's just attacking, slashing at them. There's this one woman with a large black afro and some sunglasses, and she kind of steps back as he's attacking her.
But this is something different. I'm mad, yeah, really mad, but at the same time, there's a calmness to my anger. Fist, blades, bullets, I see every threat they throw clearly as the battle moving in slow motion. I can even tell that they all have the same tattoos, the ones I fought before. But these guys are bigger, stronger, better armed, better trained. And after 3 years of only meditating, reading, and gardening, I'm nowhere close to being in fighting shape. My lungs burn, my muscles ache, my heart races, and I wonder if the two battles in one day might just be too much for me to handle. And then I remember the dead villagers, innocent victims of these thugs.
He smacks one with his nunchucks this time.
These cowards. Then I find a second wind that I need to end their pathetic existence.
Back to the sunglass.
Please don't hurt me. Don't.
There. Now I attacked you.
He stabs him with a sword.
You should go now, warrior, before he returns.
Whoa. Whoa, sir, I've got you.
As the man, one of the villagers, comes out, he falls down in the doorway.
Go now, save yourself. He will return when his soldiers do not join him.
Who will return?
Ogoro Kokohori, Deathworm. He is all things evil. Thief, rapist, murderer, feared by the police, military, all.
Not all. Not me. After what he did to your village, there's no way I...
No. This village is lost. Nothing left to fight for. Leave now while you can. You will not survive if you dare face Deathworm's army. Alone.
With that, he dies.
Father, I'm sorry. Michelangelo, you...
As he looks on, Mikey is just absolutely sullen in his face.
I just can't do this anymore. My son... You are not doing this.
we are. Your brothers, you, me, we fight this war together. Always.
Michelangelo sits there
alone. So what's it gonna be, Chucklehead? You just gonna sit there crying like a baby, or you're gonna do what the old man told you? And get moving.
Mikey looks over to see three spectral appearances of Donatello, Leonardo, and Raphael. To be continued.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
It's pizza time.
And now, in a segment that we call Pizza Time, where we discuss any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or pizza-related food, I give you Pizza Time.
All right, everyone. We are getting down to the nitty-gritty and the end of our pizza recipes. So I just wanted to go with this one, which we have not done yet. The shakshuka pizza makes one 12-inch pizza. Shakshuka is a Middle Eastern dish of eggs simmered in spicy tomato red pepper sauce. This pizza-fied version with smoky baked eggs will knock you out of your shell. Ingredients: extra virgin olive oil for greasing, 1 pound ball pizza dough, homemade or store-bought, 2/3 cup of New York-style pizza sauce, 1 teaspoon smoked paprika, 4 large eggs, 1/2 cup chopped red peppers, 1/2 cup grated Parmesan cheese, fine sea salt, and freshly ground black pepper. 1 tablespoon of finely chopped fresh flat-leaf parsley. Ingredients: preheat the oven. Instructions, I should say. Preheat the oven to 500 degrees Fahrenheit with a rack in the middle position. Lightly coat a heavy-duty baked baking sheet with olive oil. Step 2. Stretch or roll the dough into a 12-inch disc and place it on the prepared baking sheet. In a small bowl, stir together the pizza sauce and paprika. Step 4. Crack the eggs into separate small prep bowls or ramekins. Step 5. Spread the sauce over the dough, leaving a half-inch border of dough all around. Step 6. Scatter the roasted red peppers and then carefully slide the eggs onto the pizza an inch or two inside the edge, evenly distributed. Step 7. Sprinkle with Parmesan cheese and season with light salt and pepper. Step 8. Transfer the baking sheet or the pizza peel into the oven and bake until the crust is golden. The egg whites are set and the yolks are still a little squishy, about 10 to 15 minutes. Step 9. Remove the pizza from the oven, let it rest for 5 minutes, then sprinkle with parsley, slice, and serve. And that is your pizza for the day, the shakshuka pizza.
Cowabunga, dudes!
Thank you for listening to the Epic Tales from the Sewers podcast. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. This podcast has no affiliation with Eastman, Laird, Mirage Studios, IDW Studios, Archie Comics, or Nickelodeon Studios. This podcast is a member of the Dorkening Podcast Network. Check out thedorkening.com for other podcasts. Epic Tales from the Sewers is recorded by Justin Cooper and Eric Will.
We'll be right back.
10 years to make the perfect man cave.
And then we took it over. And we made it into the multiversal chamber.
Then I started my own podcast.
And we took that over too.
And we're the co-hosts, the Multiverse Kids.
Yeah, and I'm the dad, the geeky dad. And every week, we what?
We review the movies, shows, and books. Games and toys.
Yeah, and sometimes we even have a special guest. So, join us every week on the Geeky Dad Podcast.
Hello, intrepid listeners. This is the Generation Playlist Podcast, a podcast about music where we are your guides through a particular group or artist.
We talk about the music, and then we make a customized playlist to share with you, our listeners. And you can check us out wherever you listen to podcasts and find our playlists on Spotify.
Greetings and shabibins! We are the Retro Reductibus Cephala Podcast, a long-form bi-weekly show that celebrates all the things that made growing up awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good, but I don't know what all those words mean.
I think what Parasite seems trying to say is that on Retro Reductibus, we explore a range of retro goodness, from toys, video games, and movies, to cartoons, and even snacks and school lunches.
Oh. And we do it all with a positive spin, a slew of killer guests, and some very adult language.
And you know what else is cool?
No.
This crazy show is part of the Dorking Podcast Network with new episodes every Tentacle Tuesday.
What's that?
And if waiting 2 weeks for a new episode gives you a sad, know that we drop bonus episodes all the time, like the off-format Crow's Nest and an interview series we call The Brick.
You can listen to Retro Redoctopus on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or any app that's cool enough to carry the only show that celebrates all the things that make growing up awesome.